First Peter chapter number 5. I want to use a very familiar verse, one that we refer to a lot, one that we quote a lot. May we see what the Lord may have for us here tonight. First Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. When you find it, just say amen. Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Father, we thank you tonight for Jesus, and God, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house and to worship you. God, as we open your word, God, may we allow you to speak to us through your page, the pages of your word. God, may you not allow us to say anything that we don't need to, but all things that you would have us to hear tonight. And Father, we love you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. As we come to this very familiar scripture, this very familiar text, we come and we see where there are, in the beginning, there are those two, some would say, commands. But as it starts off, it says to be sober. And Peter is making a statement there because it's a warning of what's coming. He's not saying if you have time, if you see it convenient. He's saying, but be sober. And by that sober, the first thing that comes to man's mind is to not be drunk. And absolutely, we should not be drunk. Alcohol should not be influenced of the body or the mind. But that word sober goes much deeper than that. And that word sober is saying to be alert and to be self-conscious and to know what's going on in your surroundings. Because, it says later on, because your adversary, the devil. And I want to talk to you tonight about this thought tonight on three targets, three of the main targets that the devil has in our day and hour. Three targets that the devil has. And number one, I want you to notice this, that it is, number one, I believe the target is the home. I believe the home is one of the biggest targets that the devil has in our day and hour. And it's not just started today. It's been going on for a while. And the home is being attacked like never before. It's a battle that's been being fought for ages. It's just getting harder and harder and harder. You say, why is it getting harder? Well, society makes it so easy for the home to fall apart. Society, we get caught up in the things that's going on around in society, and the home is not much well thought of in our day and hour. The home is not looked at as something that is of importance in our day and hour. But I believe this. I believe that the home is part of the backbone of the church. And I believe that the home is part of the backbone of our country. And if we lose the home, then we can lose the church and we can lose the country if we're not careful when it comes to the home. And we see that as we're here, I want you to draw your attention to Isaiah chapter number 39. And you can turn there if you want to. But I just want to mention something here real quick and we'll get right into it. But in Isaiah 39, it's a very short chapter in the book of Isaiah. But in verse number 3, it says this. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. And as you, if you read on there, this group of men, what Isaiah's doing to Hezekiah, he's warning him. He's saying, Hezekiah, you need to be careful about these people that's coming, because they're going to come back and they're going to get the contents that's in your house and they're going to take it to Babylon. And we're living in a day and hour where we have not been careful about what we've let come in the home. And those from a far country have weaseled their way in, and they've come in and they've taken the precious things of the home and carried it away. As a father, I have a responsibility in the home, and that's to be the spiritual leader of the house. And so many times, men in our day, they believe that the woman is supposed to submit to them and to be a doormat for them, and that's not what it's about. If we're doing our job, men, our wives will follow us. And as a father, we are to be a dedicated Christian husband. And we are to lead by example. Here's how I know that what we say and what we do is heard and seen by those around us. Because I got four little boys. And you slip up. Don't be spiritual on me tonight. You slip up, and they're going to tell everybody they come in contact with that daddy messed up. Because they listening. They watching. They're seeing. And if they see and they hear that daddy thinks it's okay, then they're going to think it's okay. And we better be careful, because the devil is targeting the home. I don't know about this new age of football. I come along when, if you could hit them in the ear hole, you could hit them in the ear hole. Nowadays, they do this. When the official, he goes to doing all this, talking about targeting. I thought the man with the ball was the target. Can I get a witness? I mean, we in the South. Come on. I thought that the man with the ball was the target, and you was doing everything you can to take him out. That's what we're experiencing here with the devil. We, as the home, the family, the devil is targeting us, and he's doing everything he can to bust it up and to tear it apart. We're supposed to be a Christian husband, but not just that, but we're to be wives, to be devoted Christian wives. I'm talking about, hey, we wives care more about your home than you do somebody else's. Husbands, care more about your home than you do somebody else's. If I say something I don't need to, you tell me, okay? Because I don't want to get in trouble. But so many times we get our eyes and watching somebody else and worried about what they got going on down at their house. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I got a big enough mess down there at the Swafford house. I ain't worried about none of y'all's, all right? I'll come help you if you need me, if it gets out of the banks and you need me to help you shovel it back in. But I got enough to worry about at my home. I ain't got it all figured out. But I have figured this much out, that if he ain't in control and if he's not in the center of the home, it's going to be turmoil. He's after the home. And our children, notice what the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter number 127, verse number 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. But notice also what it says in Proverbs, chapter number 20, and verse number 7. Notice, listen to me real close. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. They're watching us. They're watching us. And they're watching us. We better keep our eyes on our integrity, because they're going to follow in our footsteps. I can remember, we do a lot of hunting. And if you don't like killing animals, I'm sorry. We do. And so I remember as a little boy, and anybody, it's kind of one of them deals like holding a flashlight for your daddy and you really don't know where he wants it, but he's hollering at you the whole time to hold it right there. I remember walking in the woods, and this is what my daddy told me, Brother Mike. He said, you watch where my feet go, and that's where you put your feet. You put your feet where my feet were. that's come true now that I got four little boys. You take them five-year-olds to the woods, you ain't slipping up on nothing, honey. I'm talking about sound like a herd of elephants. Here we go. And I say, shh, you got to be quiet. A couple of them, I think they said, huh? I said, shh, you got to be quiet. I said, walk where I walk. Not just in the woods, but I ought to be able to tell them about everything in my life. Hey, boys. Y'all walk where I'm walking. Y'all go the path that I'm going. Mamas, you ought to be able to tell your kids the same things. That's our job, is to tell them, hey, well, do what I do. I've said it before. My daddy told me when I was about Carson's age, he said, boy, you can do anything you've ever seen me do. But if I catch you doing something you ain't never seen me do, I'm going to beat you to death. I'm still living. And we'll just leave it there. But the fact is, the home is under attack, and we must have a daily devotion of giving thanks to the Lord. We must let our kids see us in our daily worship. Worship's not just coming to church. Worship's not just what we do here, but that's something we ought to do on a daily basis. We ought to thank Him for what He's done for us. Our kids ought to see us even in our hard times. Our kids see us at our best and at our worst. Even though we try to hide it sometimes, it's going to come out. I don't know about y'all, but my face shows a lot of things. A lot of ugly, but it shows a lot of things. We must show our kids and allow our kids to see a daily devotion. But there's decisions that must be made in the home, and they're going to be tough decisions. They're hard decisions. We must be careful not to give in to what everybody else is doing. We must be careful in those decisions and not make those decisions based off of what everybody else's friends is doing. There's some of Carson's little buddies, and their parents have zero standards. They have zero rules, and guess what? Carson don't get to go over there. And he don't understand it right now. But he's not going to get to go over there just because they want to, because he's 12 and he don't get it. Parents, we must make some decisions when it comes to biblical standards and say, here's the line. We're going to draw the line. We ain't crossing it. We're not even going to date it. We ain't getting close to it. Because if you ain't careful, you'll become kissing cousins with the devil if you're not careful. We got to make some decisions, and the decisions are getting harder by the day. My wife's a public school teacher. There's some of you that are in education and have been in education. Education world is not what it used to be. It's not what it once was. We'll get into this a little later, but there's decisions that may have to be made at your house about your kids' education. There's decisions in the home that will affect, not just in the now, but it'll affect your children in the days to come and in the years to come. The home's under attack, and we better protect it with everything that we have. Then I want you to notice this, the church. Number two, the church, I believe, is one of the three main targets of the devil. The church should be the happy place. It should be the place where we come and we feel better than we've ever felt when we leave. We may not feel that way when we get here, but we ought to come, and there ought to be something here that when we leave, we feel better than when we got here. The church is, if it's not, then I believe it's on us. If we leave, don't leave different than when we came. It should be a holy place. It should be a place that we can retreat to and get refueled. The church is a place where we should be able to hear preaching from the Word of God. Instead of somebody standing up there trying to please a bunch of men and make everybody feel good. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Paul said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The preaching's not here to make us feel good. The preaching's here to blister sometimes. That's what the preaching of the Word of God is. Notice what the Bible says over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2 and verse number 4. It says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." The preaching is to please God, not please man. And so many times that's what happens in our day in the preaching of the Word of God, is they try to please man. I'm thankful for a place that the pastor comes and he just lets it rip. I mean, it's wherever it lays, that's where it goes. He don't sugarcoat it. He don't try to make us feel good. He just lets it rip. That's what the preaching of the Word of God, it is to us. The preaching of the cross is for us, it's to feed us as the sheep. It's to feed us as the children of God. The preaching at the church. And then there's praying at the church. We should be praying like we're in the upper room, not down playing in the dining hall. Amen. So many churches, and those of you preachers here, you go to churches and they never pray until the preacher gets up and reads his text, or before he reads his text. That's the only prayer they have in the whole church service. Praying is worship. And the church has weakened itself because of prayer, the lack thereof. And may we pray, may we pray, may we pray when we're at the house of God. The praying. Then they should be at the church, there should be power to cleanse the soul. And there should be purity to teach character down at the church. So many times I go into churches and I see that those that are in leadership are not living a life that is setting an example for those that they're leading. If somebody's in leadership at the church, they got to be living right. I know that our pastor's man. He's a man. I know Brother Mike, our associate pastor, he's a man. I know that Brother Tim, the choir director, he's a man. But we must set ourselves apart in leadership roles because we are leading people. Not that we're not going to fall, not that we're not going to stumble, but those in leadership have to be different. We got to live a little bit different. Purity of character. We're different. Everybody's different. Let me prove to you how different we are. There's some some of you, and bless your heart, I don't stir my coffee. I just drank it black. But some of you stir your coffee with your right hand, and some of you stir it with your left hand. Some of you put your right shoe on first, and some of you put your left shoe on first. Some of you, if it don't feel right, you don't want to touch it. We're all different, and those are little things, but we're all different in a lot of different ways. There should be a difference down at the church house. We should all be different than those that are on the outside. There should be a difference. They should be able to tell. I've said this before, I don't go around poking my chest out, telling them, hey, I'm a preacher. I don't do that. I hope to live my life different so that those around me can see that there's something different about me. And as a Christian, that should be our desire. As a church member, that should be our desire, that there's something different. Listen, there's not a church around that's like Liberty. I promise. You got to drive a long way, don't you, Brother Jamie, to preach in a church like Liberty. And in saying that, people should be able to tell by the way that we are, by the way that we worship, by the way that we live, that there's something different about us. The church is under attack, and they should be hear me well. Don't get these words confused right here. There should be praise in worship down at the church. It should be a place where there is praise in worship. I didn't say praise and worship. I said praise in worship. They go together. You do, Lord have mercy. It's not separate. It's together. When you're praising Him, it's inside of worship that you're praising Him. Don't separate it. Praise in worship instead of some kind of worldly gig, some kind of worldly part. Praise in worship down at the church. And then they should, those that are not saved, they should be able to get pardon for their sins down at the church. So many times there's not even a message of salvation preached. I don't know of a time that I've not been able to see the gospel presented from the pulpit of Liberty. That should always be the main thing, is the gospel of salvation. The pardon of forgiveness. So we see the home, we see the church, and then I want you to notice this. The school is a target for Satan. I have to be careful with this because my wife has a job and I want her to keep her job because the insurance is good. But the school is a target for Satan. The things that we hear on the radio and the things that we hear on the news, it's not a bunch of hoopla. It's not a bunch of fake news. The things going on in our school systems around is facts, where kids don't know who they are or what they are. Things are being taught in our school systems that we don't agree with, that the Bible don't agree with, that God don't agree with. And our school is under attack, and the school should be a place to where minds are developed for higher learning. But instead, the minds are infused and indoctrinated with false information. You go back, and some of you are old enough to remember, and I can tell by the color of your hair, where they taught the Word of God. I've got a little pamphlet that I got from my great uncle, and he pastored for 64 years, and he was a great Bible teacher, a great Bible preacher. And that little pamphlet was from when he was in school. Brother Mike, it was how they taught the ABCs using Bible verses. They took the Word of God and taught the ABCs. Nowadays, they don't even want it around. I'll just go ahead and say this, and if she loses her job, y'all just take up a love offer and help us out. That's all I can tell you. But Fellowship of Christian Athletes is a big thing in the West Georgia area, and Casey and I have always been involved in it. And we've seen a lot of young people come to Christ through Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We've seen a lot of coaches get saved through Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Casey has always been very involved at Bowden High School ever since she's been there, on leading what they call the huddle, which is they meet once a week and they come in. Last year, about this same time, our wonderful officials sent out an email that they didn't need to publicize anything about Fellowship of Christian Athletes. No pictures, no news. It's got to be student-led. That's all fine and well. But I'm thankful that I got a wife that's more concerned about the soul of those kids than she is the grade of the kids. She's more concerned about the soul of those kids than she is winning a softball game. She said, well, some of my helpers have backed off and they don't come to huddle no more. I said, well, you just keep going. And the Lord will take care of us if they fire you, if they run you off. And I know this is on Facebook, and that's okay if that's what they want to do. But our schools are in trouble, and we need some teachers to stand up and let kids know that there is a God. And let them know that there is only one way to heaven. It's not to live a good life. It's not any of that, but it's one way to heaven. We need to, the schools were meant to defend, listen to me, to defend the morals taught by the home and the church. But not nowadays, they destroy those values with distrust. That's where we're at. There was a day when the church was in control of the school and the government. And nowadays, they don't want no part of it. And may we forever remember where we came from and what we were founded upon as a church, as a country, as a school. The school has a duty to teach our kids, but it doesn't have a duty to send our kids in the wrong direction. The school's under attack. We're seeing, as we've seen recently, we're seeing school shootings. I was thinking back, the first school shooting that I remember was Columbine High School out in Colorado. Some of you may remember one before then, but that was the very first one that I remember. I can take you to where I was at when I heard about it. It was devastating. Everyone since has been devastating. The school is under attack from evil. There's only one hope. And that's that we get God back in. That we get God back in. And the only way we can do that is if the home is doing its job and the church is doing its job in discipling young people so that they can go in and they can infiltrate that school system or that local school to show them Christ. The school is under attack. The young lives, the school should direct the young lives in the right path instead of deception. It should help them be responsible young citizens. The school should help develop all of that. But instead, our school systems have dropped the ball. They've taught them how to beat the system and how to work the system. And it don't matter if I show up or not, I'm still going to get a passing grade. I wish that had happened when I was in school. I'd have deer hunted a whole lot more. Amen. But there's a lot. There's three things right there that I believe is under attack that's some of his biggest targets. The home, the church, and our schools. I pride myself in the fact that my seventh grader comes home and somebody has called him a name or said a word to him, and this is not hooray us, but it does make me kind of bubble on the inside. And he'll say, Daddy, what's that even mean? And I come up with something off the wall. I'm like, I don't know. I'll come up with something and I'll say, go ask your mama. No, I'm just kidding. Some say, well, he's sheltered. Call it what you want to. I don't want the school educating him on certain things. I want to do that as the daddy. We've got a job to do as the church and as a home, and that's protect our kids and help change our country. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that our feeble efforts have been of some help and some encouragement. Lord, help us as we go away. In Jesus' name, amen.